Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi.
We're mass communicating.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
This is the End of the Line Podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.
I gave it a 10.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
And now, here are your hosts, Rocky LaFleur.
Everybody on? Good.
Great. Grand. Wonderful.
No yelling on the bus.
Josh Webb.
Sorry I had a fight familiar, but I'm party.
And Jake Latondras.
And bad news.
Also starring Rob Kroon.
I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
And Bradley Ramsey.
No, Mark, didn't say it.
Showtime.
All right, here we go. Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Showtime, everybody! Showtime!
Welcome to the End of the Line Podcast from Rocky LaFleur in the rainy Duck South Studios in Oxford, Mississippi. And it is Thursday.
How you doing letting Rob Kroon join me on my day?
That's what I'm going to hear from Ramsey.
Why have I got to share Thursday?
I hate to tell Ramsey this, but every day is Rob Day.
Man, I am sorry that we are 3 days late, but I'm trying to help Roy Ann out with their vet clinic, and man, you know as good well as anybody, starting a new business is tough.
I saw you with those co-eds shooting that commercial. I know what you're up to.
Man, O.D. Leak, he had no problem following those yoga pants. It was awesome.
No, he shouldn't. I mean, you know, that's the home of the – that's God's country right there, buddy.
Let me just say, Rivers and Chandler, they were experts at playing their part. May bring them back in for some secondary shoots later on.
Well, I'll have to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
So we pull up. I try to find somebody on Lamar. We tried to use locations that were iconic to Oxford. We rode up and down Lamar like we were teenagers, you know, back in the 80s, cruising a certain street. You know how you used to do in the 80s and 90s, cruised a street and turned around and rode it again? That's what me and Dawson and Chad looked like. Monday.
You should have just gone to the Katie house, the Kyo house, and just said, look, man, anybody want to be on a commercial? But I tell you what we used to do, like as soon as spring would roll around, you know, as soon as it would get like right, like, you know, you'd have a couple of days of spring, but it just wouldn't get right. As soon as it got right, we would just skip class and ride around and look at girls going to class. It was a very, very fun ordeal. That's back when everything was open, you know, you could drive around the circle and then come back out. Everybody was going to classes around there and then kind of ease around. Offering a ride so that you can get a parking ticket was one of the best things ever. Because you can't park, I don't know if you can now, but when I was in school, you couldn't park anywhere. Like, I would always try and find some alley with a dumpster and, like, hide my truck back there. And it worked several times. I mean, I only went to class, like, four out of the however many weeks of semester. It wasn't like I had to really risk it. And even if I did get a $15 parking ticket, I mean, $60 isn't really that bad. But they used to be Nazis about that, man.
You're talking about campus. I parked behind a dumpster yesterday because parking places on campus yesterday were few and far. There were none. It looked like the apocalypse on the Ole Miss campus yesterday. So Roy Ann had found this futon couch, leather futon couch, whatever the crap it's called. She said, hey, go pick this up at this dormitory. Just meet the girls at the door. Dude, it was before the storm started rolling in. You would have thought the apocalypse was happening, the way that people were throwing crap into the back of their truck and hauling ass.
Sounds like when it used to snow there, which was like once every other year. I mean, I don't know what hormones that triggered or what happened, but that was some fun times.
a lot of stuff going on during snow days, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, so the past few years, I tell you this, cool story. So when we first bought rental property up here, and we'd come up every other weekend, we just happened to be driving through campus one day, and this is probably 2010. Roy and said, "Hey, look at what those girls are throwing in the dumpster." So we pulled over there. We climbed over and looked inside the dumpster. Man, there's refrigerators, microwaves, furniture, rugs, all kind of stuff. She said, "Let's load the truck up." I said, "Sure. I mean, it's in great shape." And man, this black lady pulled up and she got a truckload of microwaves and refrigerators. She said, "I don't know what it is about these white girls. I guess they just jump on their airplane, their jet, and fly home. And they just throw all this good stuff away. They ain't got room on the jet for it." So, that was yesterday. Listen, I'm not kidding you, man. It's $2,000 rugs being thrown in a dumpster. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care. Hey, man, by the time the school's over, if you made good enough grades where you can go home, and if you care to go home. I never went home. For the extended stay I had in Oxford and at Ole Miss, I did not go home one time. I mean, I went home, obviously, for holidays, but I never left the campus while school was in session. Not one time. I mean, it would just be an idiot move. The summers at Ole Miss with the summer school and the intersession is the best. That is the best 3 months of your life. It is a constant. You know, everybody there knows each other. Everybody there is. Anyway, and it is just one huge party for the whole summer. And it's perfect. Like, you go to the bar, it's not crowded. This is back when, like, the gym was open and stuff. You just go to the bar, you have the you have all your friends and the whole place to yourself. And, like, you know, like, back then, I go to Forrester's and, like, all the guys in our fraternity work there. And so I would drink all day, have crawfish, drink all night. My tab would be $8. You know, I mean, summers there were the best. I wish I could find a reason. That would be bad for everything. But the summers down there are the best, period.
Well, you're getting to hate. You're getting back down to playing weight, though. You could probably make it down here.
I think I could, but if I had one of them ulcerative colitis flare-ups while I was trying to mac on somebody, it probably wouldn't be good. She'd be like, "Where are you going? I gotta find a shitter!"
So, a couple of things. One, there was an article came out a couple of months ago. I want to ask you about this. A lady was moving her son into Notre Dame, and she wrote a letter to the editor of the school newspaper that said that yoga pants, which I saw a lot of yesterday and with Dawson this past Monday, should be outlawed because
that lady should be shot with 500 paintballs.
I got a question for you, though. Look. So all these women's groups and libs came out just screaming to chop her head off because she said this. Now, put yourself back into your 18-year-old self, where every 3 seconds you thought about sex. Every 3 seconds. Some kind of sexual thought comes to your mind.
Right.
Look, and I want you to look at it from this woman's point of view. Does she have a point?
No. Look, man, if we'd have had yoga pants when I was at school there, holy crap. I mean, basically, they wore those little shorts anyway, so, really, you're cool. But the yoga pants, like, why didn't we start Lululemon?
Oh, man.
I mean, it's like $90 yoga pants, and it makes the right girl that wearing them, it makes them irresistible. to the point of probably things you should not ever think about.
But
I don't
think exactly
because I'm married.
Right. Whatever. I am too. But listen, when you can see the undercarriage and every wrinkle in that undercarriage, does the lady not have somewhat of a point? Just a little one.
The lady needs to kiss my ass. Those girls just got done working out, okay? They didn't have time to go home and freshen up and put a sundress on. They've been working out. People have tight schedules. You go to the gym, and then you go to class. They don't have time to go change, and I commend it. Tell that lady to mind her own damn business. If she don't wear yoga pants, go get some baggy mommy jeans and go wear them around with some white New Balances. Nobody cares about her anyway. She's just jealous because she don't look good. Penn State, I mean, there's three hot girls in the whole state of Pennsylvania. And they never live. They didn't grow up there. Oh, sorry, whatever. Same thing. South Bend, Indiana. Have you been to Indiana? There's three hot girls in the whole state. And they all came from Tennessee or Mississippi. They're all transplants. She needs to shut up. Mind her own business. She doesn't like yoga pants. I don't like a lot of stuff, but I don't go crazy and talk about how they should be outlawed. I mean, how do people get these platforms? Like, how did she get to be able to do this? Like, at what point are we as a society to where we're going to listen to some bumfuddled lady who probably has some sort of chemical imbalance talk about how yoga pants should be banned? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. She should be banned.
Christian. She's a Christian family counselor.
That's fine. That's great. Counsel your people. The people counseling you.
But look, I want to talk about this from a standpoint of a 18-year-old Rob Groom. Holy hell. I can't imagine Rob Groom at 18 years old. This is a standpoint of, that is so misunderstood in this world. Women think that we think like them and we are supposed to think like them instead of how our minds were really created, which is almost, it's totally different, totally opposite of theirs. That's what I'm saying. The lady has somewhat of a point. Now listen, I don't want to ever see yoga pants outlawed, but she does kind of have a point from that perspective.
No. Okay, it's the same damn thing with guys arguing over shotguns, shells, this pattern, how many ducks you killed. It's the same thing. Some hot girl walks through campus the very first time with some Lululemon yoga pants, and the other girl was like, I'm hotter than her. I'm going to get some. I'm getting two pair, and I'm going to get the tank top and look like I'm going to the gym. It's the same thing. It doesn't matter. Everybody wants to look better than the other person. They want to have the best picture on Facebook. They want to look hot, and if you can rock it and you have the body, by God, you should wear it. This whole thing about, oh, well, they're doing this, and oh, it's crazy, people are different, wearing yoga pants. Every time somebody posts something about Sitka, everybody goes crazy. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, it's too expensive. It's the best stuff ever made. It's the same exact argument. It's the same thing. If they want to show off their hot ass, then let them show it off. That's their prerogative. If they go to the gym and work to have a body like that, which I know about half of them don't, then they deserve it. I'm all for it. Look, they might be 195 pounds now. Who knows? Who cares? At least they got to wear them when they were hot. And they probably got some pictures the way kids take pictures now. Everything is documented. I was talking to one of my best friends the other day. I was like, man, can you imagine if we had Tinder and Facebook when we were in school? We went to school together the whole time. He goes, no, it would have been awful. And I started thinking about it. I was like, you're right. Because one of us would have hooked up with the wrong girl, and she would have blasted us on Facebook. It would have ruined everything. We would have had to transfer to some other school. Not state, not Arkansas. You know, Kentucky horse races, Tennessee has hot girls, but it's in the mountains. I mean, somewhere, we would have had to go somewhere. We could not have stayed at Ole Miss because we would have been called out. So actually, after second thought, I'm glad we didn't have that stuff. I didn't even have a cell phone. I didn't even have a cell phone until I was a senior, or maybe even later than that. So, I mean, you had to actually go to the bar, find the girls, figure out which one you thought you had a chance with, and go from there, whether it worked or not. Now,
Take personal opinion out of it. So when you and I were in college, you know what was the yoga pants of our time? You know what got our mouths salivating? Really think about this for a second. Think back on those days.
In the short shorts.
Which I guess I was probably 2 or 3 years older than you. But you remember when Shania Twain released that video showing her belly off? What do you call it? The midriff?
Yeah, that was that. Woo, yeah. But see, when I was in school, there was still a bunch of conservative Mississippi girls that wouldn't wear it. I mean, you know, at Ole Miss, if you go too much on the hoe side, you can get bald quick. Like, you end up in one of those janky sororities, you know, and you can get bald pretty quick or get a bad name. There were still a bunch that were like, I'm not doing that, and they were still super hot. But when bathing season came and they realized they could go to the pool and attract us to the pool, even though we didn't want to go, or go to Sardis, that was the holy of holies.
You know, what's so crazy about Ole Miss and Oxford, and I know it's changed across the board. I pulled up to another complex or driving by it the other day. I was going to look at some land in the country and had to make a turn by one of the most popular places here in Oxford. And I just kind of looked over my shoulder toward the pool. There wasn't anybody out there, but they had these wading pools with the chairs in the water. It looked like the shallow end of a wave pool at, say, you know, a water park. But, well, you know, they have these cabanas. And what's so nutty about that? In front of all three of these pools, with the cabana in the middle, is this huge movie screen where you can sit in the pool, drink beer, and watch movies. Or watch the football game on the weekend. Who would ever want to go home?
No, why would you go home? Well, like, when you go home, you're just going to see your other friends you grew up with who are miserable because they took a scholarship to UCBY Boo, and it's not, no, go see them one weekend and be like, hey, man, I got to go back to school. I failed political science, so I got to go take it this summer. Like, don't get called into that crap. And plus, the way everything runs now, you really need to take some A class or two in the summer to keep up, because if you can take more than 12 hours at Ole Miss, and you're a male, and you can get A's or B's with 12 hours, if you can do it with 15, you're a damn genius. You need to be the CEO of Verizon, because you're way too smart, way too good. If you can go out, make A's or B's, and take 15 hours, you are the alpha male. You have made it. You're going to be the most successful person in your class.
I'll say this about Ole Miss. Ole Miss, you know, gets picked on a lot, but it is true. Sitting there watching these kids make a mad dash to load all this stuff up yesterday. I'm for every one, four, five, or six, there were six or seven, six, seven, eight. Or 7, 8, 9.
People don't understand. Like, you just don't understand. You have to go there and just see it, because you won't believe it. And people think, oh, he went there, he's biased, blah, blah, blah. And people say that. They don't know. If you go there for over 3 days and come back and tell me that you're not impressed, you are either A, not into chicks, or B, you went where the campus was completely empty, because it is the mother load of hot chicks. There's nowhere like it in the world that I've been to. I mean, I've been to Florida State. I've seen some hot chicks, but I'm talking about the level of quality. I'm not talking about like the Florida State girl, the mascot with the big boobs and the cowboy hat. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about straight hot chicks that you would take home and beg to marry you in front of your parents. I'm not talking about, I don't know how to put this. I'm talking about legit nines and tens everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere you go.
You know what, Esther's comeback to that would be, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I don't like sports.
The last two of five Miss Mississippi is it's come from Mississippi State. What's your answer to that? Two or three out of five.
Yeah, what? Yeah, a beauty pageant is about as judged fairly as Mississippi State judges their athletics. I mean, if I had a daughter, I could let her win every beauty pageant when you pad the right pocket. She could look like Igor or Shrek. It doesn't matter. A beauty pageant has nothing to do with being hot. Nothing. Just like Mississippi Athletics has nothing to – no, I don't care. Why are they so worried about us? I don't get it. Estes thinks he can run a sub-6, or I think he said a 6 last night. That kid can't break 7. All these guys that think they can run these 40s and under 6, I have cash money. I will meet you wherever you want to go, and we will just run until one of us is out of money.
See, I think we should have the Duck South Dash somewhere there in West Tennessee. Just open up odds.
We definitely should, but there's more to it. It should be the Duck South Olympics, wader races, decoy tosses, 40-yard dashes, you know, all of that. Like, I know some guys that can run in waders pretty much almost as fast as they can regularly. Fence jumping, barbed wire fence jumping, all this stuff that goes along with this. It would be beautiful.
I like this idea. I like it a lot.
I mean, the wader races would be awesome. We talked last night, we were joking about trying to run in banded waders, but they were like, it's going to be hard with all that water in them. That would definitely make it a little harder, but you can't fill them up with water because it'll just leak out. So I don't know how we'd do that, but.
Duck South Olympics and Rob Kroom as the ambassador of the first ever Duck South Olympics.
It's got to happen. There's too many people talking smack about being able to run 40-yard dashes. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I know a lot of stuff, but I know for a fact that some of these washed up kids that played high school football, baseball, basketball, track, whatever. I know they used to be able to run, but once you hit like 28 and 30, your body changes. I don't care. Anybody that's over 35, if you can run a sub-5.5 40, then you are a bad dude because it's not going to happen. Dude. I mean, I'd get halfway through the thing and my gout would flare up and I'd fall down on the ground. And then I'd have a colitis attack and I'd have to find a bathroom up and I'd poop in the field.
Where's the shitter?
Yeah, where's the shitter? We had to have porta potties close for that. But anyway, dude, you can't do it. Like, it's just not going to happen. I don't care if you work out. Like, Presley thinks he can run. He really does think he can run a 5 flat 40. There's no way. There's no way. It's not going to happen.
That would have to be the kickoff race. So let's put him and Estes on the, you know, to really stir the emotions, get the crowd going. That should be the opening race. Kind of like, you fire the air to light the torch. Let Estes and Presley run against each other to start it off.
We should have, like, the opening flag ceremony should be, like, Sitka, Drake, Bandit, and we'll just all, everybody will just, Benelli, Beretta, we'll just all fight each other before the first race. My gun's better than yours. My Sitka's better. You don't like it because you can't afford it.
So even added to the Olympics, we should have a debate. You know, Ford versus Chevy. Benelli versus Beretta. You know, just like in old school or Adam Sandler's movie. You know, you have a debate. That's one of the contests. I like where this is going. I like it a lot.
It's going to be great. I can't wait. I mean, there's going to be some kids like Tanner and Chirpy could come and run, and I'd say they both can run under fives easy. And there's going to be some kids that really, I mean, that can really smoke it. But as far as the over 28-30 crowd that thinks they're still badasses, it ain't happening. Your body, it's not the same, man. Your body, it doesn't work like that anymore. It just doesn't. Like, you're not going to you're not running track every day and, like, running wind sprints. You can't just show up after drinking a 12-pack of beer the night before and run a 40 under 5.5. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And I'm not trying – I mean, I'm sorry if you're offended.
Rob, I'm gonna put the money in to form a commission, do a study on this in the next 2 days. I'll come back with an answer on Monday with you of whether we need to proceed with this. But I think it's a great idea.
It's perfect. We get to meet each other. There'll probably be less than 3 fights over shotguns, and then everybody will be happy. I might fight Estes over the whole Benelli comments that he always throws in there. I'm not sure yet, but me and Estes may throw hands.
Oh, boy. Hey, how's the stomach doing? You still losing weight?
Yeah, man, I'm dropping pounds like crazy. I mean, you can't help not to when you know you're in the bathroom 9-10 times a day. I think I'm down to like 215, I think, or 218, something like that. I was about 260, you know, for duck season. So, yeah, I'm shedding it off. I'll probably gain it back if I ever get healthy. But, you know, I look good right now. I've been catching a lot of eye looks from girls. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. It's not my attire.
Look, tell me this. Just say yes or no that you've eaten this food in the past year. Yes or no, yeah, it is one of my favorites. I'm going to go through them quick. Flavored yogurt.
No.
Canned soup.
Maybe once. No.
Pop-Tarts.
No.
Special K protein bars.
No.
Soda. Coca-Cola's.
Oh, yeah. Diet Coke, because I'm watching my weight. Yes.
Oreos.
Ooh. No.
Cocktails of beer.
At least 10 to 12 a day. Yes.
Bagels or white bread.
Yes.
Diet Mountain Dew or Frescas.
Not unless it's in vodka.
Veggie burgers. I'm not even going to ask you about that. Iced coffee?
Yes. I've kind of gotten off that, though. I'm mainly a Bang and hot coffee now, though.
Sugar-free snacks?
Yeah.
Margarine?
Yeah.
Bacon?
Had some this morning.
Let's see. Microwave popcorn.
I got a popcorn machine in my shop.
Let's see here. Soy sauce.
Yeah, I eat sushi like 3 days a week.
Salami or hot dogs?
No.
Doritos.
Yeah.
Gatorade or Powerade?
I've been drinking the Zeros, man. Yeah, I had a Zero this morning.
Coffee creamer.
No. That's for women.
box mac and cheese.
I might have had some of that this year.
Yes. Grilled meat.
Oh.
That have been overcooked.
Yeah. No, I don't overcook anything.
Artificial sweeteners, such as sucralose,
equal,
sweet and low, any of them.
Just equal.
Now, if you answered yes to any of these, then you're probably going to die by the time you're 50. No, I'm just kidding. I saw this the other day. It popped up on my screen. It was like 30 foods that you have to avoid after 35. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, just about every one of those I named, never been a Pop-Tart fan. I eat regularly.
See, yeah, I mean, I got this gout going, you know. I mean, I've had it for like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And I don't know who all has it that listens to this, but it is no joke. Like, it's almost crippling. Like, I still work, but I have to hobble around, and I complain about it. And my wife is like, you're big. But no, she... Like, it hurts, all right? So, here's what happens, okay? If I eat sugar, it's almost instant gout. If I eat shrimp, which is one of my favorite foods, instant gout. Oysters, I'm usually okay, but if I eat, like, 12 dozen like I like to do, then, yeah, we're going to have to fight the gout. I have medicine that prevents it. But when you eat, like, 2 dozen oysters and drink 46 beers, you're pretty much going to get it at some point. So, what happens is, this gout medicine that I have, it gets rid of the gout. But when it does, it eats the inside of your stomach. So you got to decide whether you want to trade the running shit for gout or keep the gout and not be able to walk. And usually, unfortunately, the answer is 6 or 7 times in the bathroom a day, because the gout is that hard, it's that bad. So that's just how it is. I mean, I ate steak 4 times this week. And it wasn't on accident. It was like one night I had somebody was like, let's go eat. And it like went to Longhorn, and I love their strips. I had the strip. And then like the next night, Liz is like, well, we got that other steak that we didn't cook the other night. You want to split it? And I'm like, yeah. And we ate that. And then next thing you know, I'm like, damn, I've had steak 4 nights this week. I'm going to get gout. The next morning, my foot, you could see every vein in it. Couldn't walk. So then here comes the cycle. The medicine that fixed this hurts this. And so then you take medicine for the second thing it hurt, and then you've got another issue. Like, there's no escaping it. I mean, if I make it to 65, it'll be a miracle. A straight miracle. So, I mean, it's just the way it is. Like, you know, like, yesterday, I got literally sick. I was hurting so bad. And, like, so at like 4 o'clock, I told the guys, I was like, man, I'm going home. Like, I cannot sit here any longer. So I went home, got in bed. Now, granted, this is 4:30. My kids aren't even home yet. So I get in bed and I take my CBD. The next thing you know, I'm out. Just dead asleep. Just resting. I wake up at 9 o'clock and I was watching the end of the basketball game, the Bucks game. And then I knew the Warriors and the Rockets were playing after that. So I was like, well, I bet on both. So I'm like, I'm going to watch, you know, as much as I can. I ended up staying up till 12:30 watching that Houston Golden State game. And the whole game, I knew exactly what point spread I needed to hit, of course. And the whole game, the Warriors were either up 20 or up 7. And I needed 6. And I was like, and so I couldn't go to sleep because I'm getting to the end of the game. The Warriors won by 5. I covered by 1 point.
Oh, God.
And so then I was excited, and so I was like, man, how am I going to sleep? So anyway, so I'm sitting there, and my wife doesn't like the TV on when she's in bed, and I have to have it on or I can't go to sleep. So she's over there, and she's like, are you going to turn that off? I'm like, no, you're going to have to go in the other room. I mean, I'm the sick one here, not you, okay? And so anyway, so I finally fell asleep. I don't know what time, but I got up. I felt pretty good this morning. I'm still limping around, but I think I'm going to survive. So that's good, because yesterday I thought for sure that was it.
All right, I want you to try this. This is Dr. LaFleur, me, my stethoscope on. So I come from a family with gout. natural alternative to the pills that you're taking. Every single morning that you get up, I want you to eat 7 cherries. And
well,
you put it in the refrigerator. I promise you, within a week, I don't care how much meat you eat. You get up every single morning, you eat 7 cherries.
Okay, well, I like the number 7. I tried the concentrate cherry juice, and maybe I just need the straight cherry. I'll go get them right now. Like, I'll leave right now and go to Kroger and get some. I'll go right now. If you think,
it works. I've got an uncle with the most severe gout in the world, and he swears by it.
I'm going to get some. As soon as we get off this, I'm going right to the Kroger's, and I'm getting me some.
7 every morning. Within a couple of weeks, you will be feeling better.
Well, it's a good thing because I'm going to Kansas and Nebraska Sunday, and if I don't get better soon, then I'm not going to be jumping any fences. I'm not going to be able to hunt because it'd be so uncomfortable.
Hey, look, how's the pitcher doing? Coach Pitch, is he still averaging 10 to 15 strikeouts a game?
Yeah, man, it's kind of frustrating. We played the other night against a really good team, and they scored their 5 runs every inning, and we scored 1 run. And after the game, the other coach, which is a woman, by the way, had them running bases in front of our dugout. Our kids just got beat like 22-0 or 1. And she's got them out there running bases and stuff. Anyway, so our pitcher, he's still got that 9-3 breaking curveball. And they're having a hard time hitting it. I don't think we've scored 15 runs this year. Last year, the same team.
9-3. That's pretty flat, isn't it?
The guy throws an incredible sinker. Like, it's like 12 feet in the air, and then by the time it gets to the plate, like, I've sent you videos. I'm sure you've seen them. It hits the plate. It bounces on the plate. How are the kids going to hit it if it bounces on the plate? This isn't golf. Anyway, so I don't know, man. I mean, I just got to get through it. I just stand away and just sit there and just, you know. And
you
know, the kids.
You hate losing.
It's not, yeah, I do hate losing. It's, you know, I really, really hate it. But I wouldn't mind if they were losing like 10-11 or like, you know, 17-19 or something, and it was a close game, and, you know, whoever bats last is pretty much going to win because the defense is not, you know, usually in Coach Pitch, if you get 3 hits, 2 of those guys are going to get on base, usually. I mean, you may play a team with some ringers, you know, and have to hit some in some spots, but you hit it the third, they're not going to throw you out. If they do throw it, they're going to throw it over the first baseman's head or throw it not, you know, not right to the guy, and he's going to let it go, and then you're automatically on second. And then if the first baseman picks it up and he's going to throw it to third, then you score inside the park home run. It's not that hard. So I'm trying to, like, you know, my grandmother comes to the game the other day, and she's getting older, and she doesn't care. She's so far past the point of caring about anybody that she'll say anything as loud as she wants. And so she starts harassing the coach, and I'm like, Nanny, please, you got to stop. Like, you don't understand the history. Like, it just happened. You cannot heckle him right now. Like, we can't do this. Then my mom comes to a game the other night, and she starts talking about a kid in the field and his dad sitting behind us. I'm like, Mom, quiet. And I know, look, I'll be the first to say that every parent and every grandparent thinks their kid is better than they probably are. No matter what, even, like, I know this in my head. I know that one of my twins is better than the other one. I know that because I can watch it and see it. One of them really, really gets it. He wants to play. He takes his baseball bat to school. That's all he talks about. All he thinks about is baseball. That's That's it. And it's with every sport, no matter if it's soccer, basketball, baseball, whatever. The other one, he has fun and he enjoys it, but it's not the same. And I see that. I'm looking at it. It's not like I'm not going to sit here and say that the other one that doesn't like it as much is like tearing it up, but he likes to play. He's not miserable. So I'm cool with that. I'm okay with that. And I'm not going to sit here and say, he should, you know, oh yeah, he's going to make, hey, if I was a coach, they'd both make All-Stars. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But, you know, everybody thinks their kid is a little better. I get that. But the people that think their kids are the best, that's when I'm like, dude, they're 7. Okay? Talk to me when they get 12, 13, you know, when they start playing, hitting real pitches and, you know, start doing that stuff, when you can really, really tell, you know, the kids that got the hand eye and that, and they're, that are just athletes. I mean, some kids just are athletic, you know, and some kids are kind of athletic. And then there's some kids that don't even want to be there. So, just, it's hard for me to swallow the pill and realize that, yes, they're 7. My kids still have fun. They're mad that they're not winning, but they still have fun. Like, they like it. I'm the only one that's getting pissed off. It's like, I tell you what it's like. It's like hunting with a dog that whines. You know, like, my dog will whine, like, the first 30 minutes, sometimes a little longer because he gets so anxious, and then after he picks up a couple, he's fine, usually. And it drives me insane. Like, I've thought about just retiring him and getting another dog because it makes me crazy. Like, I cannot stand it. I've beat him. I've shocked him. I've given him CBD. I've kicked him. I've thrown him. I've done everything that I know to do for this dog, and he cannot stop. I talked to one of my buddies. He's like, man, just take a bumper and throw it 3 or 4 times at dark before shooting hours. Just let him get out there and get some of that anxiety out. So anyway, it's the same thing. Like, it's bothering me that he's whining. The other guys hunting with me don't care. They don't even, like, it's like no big deal to them. But it's driving me insane. So it's the same thing. A lot of the other people don't care. They're just like, my kid's playing baseball. He's got a jersey on. He's out there. We're at the ballpark. It's 75 degrees. We're outside, like, something other to do than sit at the house and watch him play on his iPad. That's fine. That's fine. But that's not how I am. That's not how I am. If you're going to do it, you need to do it. If you're going to sign up, and if you're going to sign up and commit.
Politically incorrect Mondays with Rob ever.
If you're going to sign up to play something, then you're going to be at practice, you're going to be at the games, and you're going to want to be there. My kids are not, I'm not signing them up for something just because they need to play it. I feel like they need, when I went to high school, you had to play 3 sports. If you didn't play 3 sports, you had to be in the band or be in the drama club. You had to play 3 sports. You didn't have a choice. Luckily, I liked them, so I played them. But if you don't want to play, don't play. Don't make them play. It's ridiculous. They don't want to be out there. Half of them are crying. Like, what are you getting out of this? Like, the kid's going to hate you. Or, like, if he does start liking it, then what? It's like me, like, everybody's like, why aren't you taking your kids duck hunting yet? I'm like, dude, they're 7. If I take them right now, you know, to on a good hunt and we shoot 4 or 5 limits, they're going to be terrified. Like, why would I burn them out? Why would I ruin them? And when they're older and want to go, like, they're starting to want to go now, they're, like, asking me to go and asking what it's about. And I'm like, guys, we got to go shoot some more, and you got to learn gun safety, and we're going to shoot targets and clays, and then we'll start maybe dove hunting when it's just us, and then we'll ease into this. I'll take you to my farm when it's just us, and we'll shoot we're not going to go out there and murder them. We'll let you shoot a couple times and blow your duck call like a barking squirrel, stuff like that. I'm not putting my kids in that position to hate it, because I don't want in 5 years, when they really want to go, them to say no. When I went, I was 7, I was terrified with all the noise and the guns and the dead ducks and the dogs getting whipped and shocked. I'm not putting them in that situation. You may, like, come at me in the comments, oh, you're an idiot. You got to get the kids outdoors when they're young, when they're 3 and 4. No, you don't. You do not. They're not ready. Yours may be ready. Mine aren't. It's my decision. Just like it's my decision to let them play a sport. Because they go to practice. They try. They want to go outside and hit balls every day. I have them a pitching machine. I don't push it on them. They tell me they want to do it. I don't tell them, you're going outside, you're hitting balls, we're fielding, you know, you're going to get this down, you're going to get the throws down, you're going to get hit down. I don't do that. When they ask me to play, we play. When they ask me to hunt, we'll start hunting, gently. I'm not one of these, why would you push your kids to do something and put them in a position where they're going to hate it when you want them to do it? It doesn't make sense. There's no reason to get yourself in that situation. And I'm not the best parent in the world. I'm not trying to give people parental advice. One of my best friend's sons goes hunting every day. He can blow a duck call and a goose call better than anybody I know. And that's fine because he wants to go. He begs to go. He gets mad when he won't take him. So that's a rare deal. You know, we'll you get your kids up.
Barnett's kid.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So you get your kid up at 4 in the morning. Load him in the truck, put him in a boat, take him out to the blind with your buddies. Y'all are all joking, talking about girls and all that stuff and whatever, and that's all great. And the kid may enjoy it, but I'm not putting my kids in that position. I'm not taking them to my spot and us kill six limits and then be terrified. I'm not doing it. And if I'm a bad parent or I'm not exposing them to outdoors enough, then so be it. I'm not putting, until they want to go, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. It's the same thing with the baseball, the same thing with the travel ball, the same thing. It's all the same thing. And I get education. That's a totally different deal. If you want your kid to know Chinese when he's 3, that's great. It's probably going to be very good down the road. But don't send him to coach pitch or T-ball because you want him to go.
Hey, this is a... since we're on this topic, yes or no on participation trophies? Do you allow your kids to accept them?
It's kind of hard not to let them when every other kid's getting one on the team and they're having a big powwow, but it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
All right, so I do not allow my kids to, if they don't win it, they're not allowed to accept it. They return it to the giver.
Well, that's,
and I'm not saying that in comparison to you. I'm not trying to puff my chest out, but it comes a point in society where you, for me, and it makes my kids want to be better. But this crap of, and I know that participation trophies is something discussed over and over and over on podcasts, on media, everywhere. But it is, man. It's cruel. Do that to a kid because life's not like that.
No, and when did this start? Like when I was a kid, you didn't get that crap. I remember one time, I actually, Esty's going to love this. I went to Mississippi State baseball camp when I was 10 years old. You go down there for a week, you stay in the dorm. You know, you're young, that's pretty young to be by yourself for a week or whatever it is. Went down there, had a good camp, whatever happened. No, there's no participation trophies anywhere near that. I mean, you're playing with kids that know, you know, that are on the team and they're helping you, teaching you stuff, and it's a cool deal, okay? I'm not going to get into the whole trophy deal, but anyway. Then I go, like, I don't know how this happened, but I guess I decided that I wanted to go to a tennis camp, which is hilarious in itself because I'm horrible at, I mean, it's tennis. So anyway, towards the end of the camp, you had tournaments. Well, I was in a doubles tournament with this ring, excuse me, this kid that was a ringer. Well, we won, and I got a trophy. I didn't do anything. I just stood there. But, I mean, at least we won. It wasn't like I got a participation trophy for going to the camp. You know, it's just all different now. Like, I went to, you got basketball camp at David Lipscomb, baseball camp at Mississippi State. Like, what happened to all that? What happened to that kind of thing? Now kids are playing travel ball. What happened to, like, camps and learning? What happened to actually, like, learning the basics? Like, all of that is gone. Like, some coaches I know do teach and coach well. I get that. but the majority are coaching because their kid is on the team. And what happened, like, coach the basics. The biggest thing that pisses me off about this baseball team, it's not even the pitching, okay, is when there's a play at home, the first baseman, the pitcher, and the catcher all stand on home plate. They've done this for 6 weeks. Why can the coach not tell? I don't care if he tells my kid, back him up. You stand behind home plate and back him up in case the ball goes by him. And why doesn't he tell the other guy, you're not the cutoff man standing at home plate. Get your ass out in the infield. Why do three people come to home plate? That doesn't promote anything. That nothing good can happen to that. Nothing. And they've been doing it every game. Every single game. I lost my mind 2 days ago and had to walk off. Because I simply don't understand why somebody can't walk up to a kid and say, hey, buddy, not in the game, not in front of 50 parents, take them in the dugout and say, hey, guys, look, y'all are doing good. Somebody can back up the catcher or the first baseman or the pitcher. I don't care. But this person stays at home, this person backs them up, and the other person stays out of the way. It's that easy. It's a simple game. You can't have three people running to the same spot. You've got nine players, and a third of your team is standing at home. How can you not communicate to these kids that that's not going to work? And I'm not saying they're going to get the kid out. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But at least give them a chance. At least say, well, okay, well, maybe one of them will catch it and tag him. Maybe you have a big Husky boy running from third, and you have time to catch the ball, gather it up, and tag him. And another thing, somebody, they hit a ball to third or to shortstop. And the coaches immediately are like, no, don't throw it. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Why? Why hold it? Let them throw it. If they make a mistake, they'll try to do better next time. Telling them to hold the ball is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I agree with that.
It makes me insane. They tell them, don't throw the ball, call timeout. Because when you call timeout and the ball's in the infield, they can't advance the runners in our league. So they tell them to run in and hold, call timeout and don't throw it. I'm talking infield ground balls. I'm not talking about, like, crazy. I'm talking about normal old, you catch the ball, you throw the ball towards first base, and maybe the first baseman can catch it and the guy's out. Maybe he beats out the run, but at least you're learning baseball. That's not coaching baseball. Why take the first pitch? Why are you taking the first pitch? Don't you want the kids to be aggressive? Don't you want them to get a hit? Isn't that the whole idea, is to build confidence? Why would you want them to take the first pitch? Don't look, if you want them to take the first pitch, don't tell them that. Every game, every single game that we've played, he gets them all in the dugout and says, take the first pitch. And I'm over there about to die inside. I told my kids, if it's a good pitch, to smack it. And they pretty much swing at first pitch every time, and he just shakes his head. But that's what I do with my kids, and I'm sorry that he's the coach and he wants to do that. If you're going to make them take the first pitch, don't tell them, throw it at them. Just throw it at them and get them off the plate or throw it way outside. Don't tell them to take it. You're automatically telling them to be timid. I mean, I understand when you're in high school, or you're playing competitive ball, even travel ball, some of the good teams. If you're in travel ball, good junior high, good high school baseball teams, I understand taking a pitch before somebody comments, well, I take every pitch and the statistics say blah, blah. Before you come at me with that, I understand the logic and I understand the reason, but not when they're 7 and 8. It completely screws them up. They don't understand. They don't know. Why would I take the first pitch? They only get 7 pitches. So our kids who have scored 15 runs all year automatically only have 6 pitches left. So I'm not mad that they're not getting the full 7 pitch limit. I'm mad because they're already on their heels. They don't understand. And a lot of times the best pitch is the one they're taking. I've watched it over and over and over. I mean, it's just, I can't do it. I told a guy the other day that I'd make a $500 donation to the baseball field that they play on if they would let me off the team. I told him that. That's how mad I've been. That's how upset I am about the whole situation. I said, I will make a $500 donation to Oakfield Park if you will not ever let me play on this team again. There's got to be a team that needs players because they're always on vacation or something. There's got to be. Get me on a team that the guy is not making them take the first pitch and it's not letting three people stand at home plate. It makes no sense. Like, that's the easiest thing to coach. That's the easy. All you have to do is tell these kids, look, you're the best fielder, okay? You stand at home plate. You're a good fielder too, but you back him up because if the ball comes to you, then you can tag the runner. And then you tell the third kid to stay on his bag or stay out there because somebody may be trying to advance. It's that easy. It's that easy. It's a 30-second conversation. And if they do it again, bring them back in after they get off the field. Not in front of everybody. Don't embarrass them. Bring them off the field and say, guys, remember what I was telling you? One person backs up. The other person's on the plate. And the other person's away from it, either out there covering second or whatever. It doesn't matter. Put them anywhere. It's that simple. The kids will do it. They want to please the coach. They want to do it. I don't understand, man. I don't get it. I don't understand. And I'm probably the only one that's pissed off about it. But I cannot sit there and watch it, man.
No, I think the response has been to you pretty good, the people that's been listening to this podcast. That's what we've been talking about it.
Yeah, I meant the response on the team from the other parents. They don't care. Their kids don't even want to play. They're just out there lollygagging around and getting hot dogs and snow cones. Like, I whatever. But my kids, they better be – I don't care if they're getting coached incorrectly, but there better not be three kids standing on home plate, and you better not be taking the first pitch. It's not going to work.
Hey, Rob, I got to ask you before we go. Look, I got to ask you before we go. What about the neighbors? You know, we got to ask weekly.
Yeah, man, I saw the neighbors the other day. I was outside. I was going fishing the next day, so I had my boat outside, and I had it plugged up, charging and everything. And it was like the sun was still up. It was going down. And they walked by, and I waved, and they turned around, never waved, never acknowledged me, nothing, turned around with that fat golden retriever and kept walking. And then, instead of coming back down the road that they're minding their houses on, they went around the loop to go back home. So we still got it going on there. You know, I don't know. I hadn't had any more flat tires, but no love is lost.
Well, so you are heading out Sunday, you said, if everything goes well with the help.
Yes.
So you going to record with me on the road next week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to be on the road for like 967 hours, so we ought to have plenty of time.
Who's making this trip? Can you say?
Yeah, me and Crota and Chirpy and Jake.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Yep. It's gonna be awesome. Be a good trip.
Before I let you go, I got to get a really honest opinion with you real quick. I had somebody tell me this week that one of the next stories that I should do on this podcast is Rick Rye. What do you think? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know what all. Oh, wow. I don't know where you heard that and how that came up, but oh, my God. I don't know how much Ricky Rydell would disclose on the podcast. It's Ricky Rye too. But if he would tell some stories, some old Rick stories, it would be the most. It would blow the Falls podcast out of the water. I just don't know how much he could. I don't know how much he could disclose on here. I don't know, but it would be insane.
What about putting him and Keaton together for one podcast?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the idea is great. I'm just not sure it's going to work.
We'll talk about that more next week. Rob, thank you again for joining me on Thursday. We will get back together on Monday. We want to thank all of you that listened to this edition of the End of the Line podcast, powered by DuckSouth.com.